Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. I want to welcome you to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. Freedom, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, all of these things mean a lot here in America. Some nations that try to pattern themselves after the United States have failed. And there's one very basic reason why they failed. At some point in time, those in charge decided it would be easier to manage the people by taking away their ability to own guns. The right to keep and bear arms in the Second Amendment to the Constitution is a fundamental right that belongs to Americans. It's been challenged repeatedly by those who want to dismantle the freedoms that this nation enjoys. And I'm talking mainly about the progressives on the liberal socialist leading left. Oh, they never tell you it so they can grab more power and to keep you under subjection. They're too smart to do that. But what they say is, oh, there's too much violence going on. So to curb the violence, we must take guns off the street. The problem is, if criminals are not allowed, or if criminals do not follow the law as it exists, and they take the guns away from you and make it illegal to own a gun, the only ones left with the guns are the criminals who don't follow the law anyway. And then the law-abiding people who obey the laws, turn over their guns, are now subject to two different element groups, the criminals and the government that preys on the people. So this premise has been proven over and over throughout the world. Go check it out yourself. But the Second Amendment Foundation is one organization that is fighting the good fight of faith on our behalf. Today's guest will be giving you some insight into the current battles that they are waging in the effort to keep your constitutional right to keep and bear arms and stand against all of the efforts to subject you to whatever the government wants to impose. Alan Gottlieb is the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. He's also the author and co-author of numerous books and has published articles in the San Francisco Examiner, the Washington Post, the Chicago Tribune, and USA Today. Alan's also appeared on over 6,000 TV and radio talk shows, including Lou Dobbs, 2020, The O'Reilly Show, MSNBC with Chris Matthews, the CBS Morning Show, Laura Ingraham Show, BBC, NBC, the list goes on and on. And now he's on the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast as well. Amen. Help me welcome to the program, Alan Gottlieb. Alan, it is such a blessing to have you on the program today.
Thank you. It's really great to be with you, too. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Amen. Well, as I get started, let me ask this question first. I ask it to every guest. Tell us, other than that brief bio I just read, tell us in your own words, who is Alan Gottlieb?
Well, I guess I'm somebody that really cares about freedom and individual rights. And, you know, the area in the Bill of Rights that's most under attack and always has been appears to be the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. So I've gravitated to spending my time defending Second Amendment rights.
Amen. Now, do you agree? Well, let me ask this. What got you involved with this issue? You know, like what sparked you going down this path?
Well, it sort of started when I was in college. You know, I grew up in New York City where it was difficult to own a gun and my family didn't have one. My first time I ever got to fire a firearm was in the military, in the Army. Okay. And when I was in college, I sort of took a look at what was going on in the battle for individual freedom, individual rights. And again, the area that was most attacked way back then was Second Amendment rights. And so I get gravitated to supporting an individual right to keep and bear arms. Mm-hmm. And then when I graduated college, I ended up founding the Second Amendment Foundation.
Yeah, amen. That's awesome. And you know, I grew up around guns. I mean, I came from a hunting family, and I received my first BB gun when I think I was 7, and my first shotgun at 12, my first rifle at 14. By the time I joined the Army at 18, I mean, I qualify as an expert in the rifle, the pistol, the shotgun, and all various weapons in the Army. And that continued throughout my military and law enforcement career. And I look back and realize it was because I was taught how to handle and use these weapons as a youngster. Now, why can't society come to terms with the understanding that if you teach people how to act responsibly when they're young, they'll generally do it as they get older, especially concerning guns?
Well, I guess that's too much common sense for some of our politicians. I mean, there's no doubt everything you just said, you know, makes perfect sense, you know. And there was a time when, you know, you had rifle teams in high schools and you know, and kids learned responsibility of how to use firearms properly, and you didn't have school shootings, you know? Things have just gotten really out of hand in a lot of different areas. And of course, today we have, 22 Democrat candidates for president attacking Second Amendment rights every single day. Yeah. So the issue has really rose to the forefront of both being polarized, and you know, where gun owners get demonized by our opponents, and it's just really getting to the point that, quite honestly, the culture war is really as hot as it's ever been.
Amen. And they're saying, and I can understand this part, that we don't want people who have criminal backgrounds to own the guns, to buy guns. And I can understand that. But if they start opening up these background checks or requiring these background checks like that, I mean, they already do basically a background check, but what Pandora's box would be opened if they go down that road?
Well, I'm not so sure it's a Pandora's box per se. But the fact is that we have all these people screaming we need, so-called universal background checks. What it really is, unfortunately, it's a universal registration system. The gun, and then you're put into a database, and the government knows you've got the gun. And if they don't like you having a gun, or anybody owning a firearm, they can come take those rights away and come confiscate your firearm. And that's one of the problems we face with it. And they always stick the registration, stuff in language, so that, like it or not, it's not just a background check. But then again, also on background checks, criminals don't really go through background checks. They usually get their stealing them or getting them on the black market. So background checks don't really solve a whole lot of problems. And as we've seen lately, a whole slew of mass shootings, high-profile shootings around the country, every single one of these perpetrators went through a background check.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. Yeah. Well, I think that's when the argument comes out, well, maybe we need to establish their mental capacity to own a weapon. But who's the interpreting factor on that? That's the big question. Because you vote Republican, you no longer qualify to own a weapon. I mean, who's going to determine what's right or wrong on that? That's the major problem.
Especially when we have a significant, number of leaders in the country, politicians, think that anybody who owns a gun would be crazy to own one to start with. And so that automatically puts you in the category that this, you're something mentally deficient just because you want to own a firearm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. What are some of the major news events concerning the attempts to revoke Second Amendment rights or at least drastically alter the Second Amendment? What's going on in the news with that right now?
Well, what's really driving the news in that category, again, are the 22 plus or whatever the number is today of the Democrats running for president, each one trying to, out anti-gun the next one.
Right.
So the proposals are from everything from banning all firearms to banning just semi-automatic firearms, to banning the kinds of ammunition, to banning, magazines that might hold more than 10 rounds. New York tried to ban magazines that hold more than 7 rounds. That got thrown out in court. But it just keeps demonizing, and roadblocks being put in place, making it more difficult to be able to obtain a firearm. Longer waiting periods, higher fees, anything they can do to put a roadblock in place to make it more difficult to either get a firearm or to use it is what we're seeing happening right now.
Yeah, amen. I hear so many politicians talking about, I will not abolish the Second Amendment, but we will enact changes to bring it more in line with modern life. What the heck does that mean?
That means basically they don't believe in the Constitution and they'd like to rewrite it. That's about what it amounts to. That's a way of saying, I'm for the Second Amendment, but.
Yeah.
That's sort of what they're saying. Once that word but comes in there, that means they don't respect the Constitution at all.
Yeah, I understand that the Constitution is a living document and that it was designed that way. But at the same time, I'm a constitutionalist, I guess you could say, at heart, that we have to go back to what the Founding Fathers wanted in place. What was the foundation upon the whole thing? And so many politicians today just trying to get votes, they think, by changing the Constitution, they win votes that way. I mean, how is your organization going about to try and make people aware of that?
Well, first of all, we have our opponents like to change the language, too. It's no longer gun control or gun confiscation. they like to call it, you know, gun safety or common sense gun control.
Yeah.
And common sense doesn't necessarily mean to one person what it means to another person. So we're looking at them trying to change the language around it. They don't want to talk about gun control or gun confiscation because they know that's a non-starter. So they want to pretend it's something else. And then, of course, when they come up, you know, like you have a horrible incident of a shooting, mm-hmm. and they come out with all kinds of proposals, none of those proposals ever address the real question of why that shooting took place or what would have stopped it. So, like, example, we just had the horrible tragedy in Virginia,
yeah.
and you've got politicians coming out, oh, we need to ban assault weapons, except an assault weapon wasn't used. It was a handgun that was used. So they never have a way of really addressing the problem in a way that's really going to fix it. It just demonizes guns and gun owners any chance they come away with.
Yeah, and, you know, they fight against the idea of, well, let's allow teachers to carry guns, you know, in on themselves, conceal weapons in school. Oh, we can't have that. But yet, it's been proven that someone with a gun is more capable of, as who's been trained, is more capable of stopping a threat as it materializes than waiting the 3 to 5 minutes for the police to arrive and then make entry and try and isolate the gunman and do all that. You know, that 5 minutes, a lot of people can get shot in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the schools there, because, again, schools are so-called gun-free zones where it's not legal to have a firearm there to begin with.
Yeah.
And if you look at all these recent, you know, mass shootings, you know, be it on city property in the city hall where you're not supposed to have a firearm, or in a mall, a shopping mall, or a movie theater where it says, you know, gun-free zone sign is posted, you know, or the schools, they all seem to happen in places where the perpetrator knows no one is there to be able to defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
These are really victim disarmament zones. And they don't work. And I think now we should figure that out.
Yeah, amen. I remember growing up in school. I mean, you know, like I said, we come from a hunting community, and it was not unusual for, you know, the guys to have shotguns hanging in the window of their truck, windows down, out in the parking lot, you know, because you didn't want the truck to get overheated. And then right after school, they go hunting, you know. So, I mean, these guns were hanging right there, loaded. And I can't recall one instance of anybody ever having a shooting at school when I was growing up. I mean, you know, what's changed in society?
Well, a lot of things have changed in society. It's a very disrespect for human life to start with. You know, and, you know, we have a significant problems with mental health issues in this country and how we deal with that. There's a whole lot of reasons why we have crime and violence, you know, poverty, a lot of social economic reasons. No one wants to address the root reasons, because those cost money to solve those problems, and they're complicated. So if you just say, let's just ban guns, that sounds simple, and, you know, it doesn't really solve the problem, but that's what the politicians go for.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, I mean, the historical fact is that, you know, tens of millions of citizens own guns, and you know, they realize that if another nation wanted to invade this country, they realize it's not just the military they're going to have to fight. And, you know, it's going to be the citizens that have probably more weapons than the military does. And, you know, if other nations can understand this, we should also realize that these politicians who want to grab more and more power understand it as well, right?
Well, there's, you know, current examples. Take a look at Venezuela, where they've, you know, banned ownership of firearms, and nobody has a chance to rebel against, you know, a government that's shredding all their rights and their economic freedoms. And it's a problem. You take a look through history. I mean, what's the first thing that a dictator does, be it on the left or on the right? The first thing they do is confiscate people's ability to defend themselves.
Yeah.
You know, against tyranny. So, I mean, the history is there. I mean, it seems like it keeps repeating itself.
Yeah, it does. Amen. And if Congress, if Congress should pass laws that, you know, to come right out and have a politician come out and say, you know, we're striking the Second Amendment from the Constitution, they'd never win an election. But if Congress just, you know, chips away at it a little bit of time, all in the name of fighting crime, eventually they'll succeed in getting this to the point that the Second Amendment is meaningless. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, it becomes meaningless when you pass all these different regulations and, you know, it's gotten out of hand. We have in this country over 22,000 laws that affect the private ownership, use, and possession of firearms.
Mm, wow.
And that's phenomenal. All those laws don't seem to, you know, stop criminals. Again, because you mentioned in your opening monologue that basically, you know, criminals don't obey laws, and so therefore, you know, they're not going to pay attention to a gun control law. Is basically sort of what you're, you know, insinuating. And you were right.
Yeah, amen. And I was just, before we got on, I was looking at a new law that was down and being enacted down in Arkansas. Arkansas is a state where you can conceal or open carry. It's part of their constitution. So what the lawmakers have enacted is if you want to have a concealed weapons permit, since it's not required to do so, you can apply to have one. And if you're applying, then you're going to enter into a contract with the state that says, you know, it's got all these background questions that you normally would answer. And down at the bottom it says, and if anything changes on this application, you are required and agree to notify the state of the change, not waiting until your renewal period is, you know, you're getting ready to renew it again. Which means if, you know, today you're fine, let's say you're military and, you know, you've been dealing with PTSD and all that, and so you decide, you know, I'm going to go to the doctor, and he refers you, you know, 6 months from now to a counselor. Who then now you have a record, you know, seeing a counselor about your PTSD. If you don't notify the state, you are in violation of that contract, and then it says, and subject to criminal prosecution. You know, something simple like that, just one little line in this contract can just entirely ruin your life. You know, and there's several people that I'm aware of that they're not renewing their concealed carry permits because they don't want to be subject to, you know, having to notify the state of every little thing that goes on. But that's what I'm talking about, these little tiny laws that, oh, yeah, this just go ahead and do it. But it whittles away, just chips away at your constitutional rights. And how can we put a stop to that type of thing?
Well, it's hard to put a stop to it when you have, you know, politicians don't respect your rights. But elections have consequences. And like Ronald Reagan used to always say, you know, your freedom is really only one election away from extinction.
Yeah.
So, you know, elections are very, 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 very important. And gun owners and people who care about constitutional rights need to be engaged.
Mm. And, you know, I understand fighting crime. I mean, fighting crime is right up there with kissing babies in the political arena. I mean, but their argument is, who would not want to see less crime? You know, they keep pointing, as you said, to the number of shootings, and then they make the correlation that shootings equals guns, so less guns equals less shootings. But yet, it's actually the opposite of that, because, you know, I remember down in Texas, when we lived down in Texas, their crime rate in Dallas, I mean, I live in Baltimore, Maryland right now, right? And it's like Murder City, USA. I mean, we compete every year with Chicago about who's going to have the greatest number of killings. And, you know, these liberal states have such controls, as we said in the beginning, that some people can't even qualify for a concealed weapons permit. But when you go down in Baltimore, I'd venture to say a good third of the population is carrying illegally down there, and which is where all the shootings are. But in Texas, you know, Dallas, Texas, and Fort Worth, they fired the police chief in Fort Worth, Texas, because he had 27 murders or something like that. And they, oh, it's spiking! They do that in a month here, you know. But that's what I'm saying. But down in Texas, you don't know who's got the gun on them. So therefore, everyone is a little bit more respectful of your rights down there. And that, I just don't understand the thinking behind the efforts to abolish the power of the Second Amendment. How is your organization getting that notice out to this nation that we need to fight to keep this going?
Well, before I answer that question, I just want to jump into what you said there, because you brought something in my mind. You know, the anti-gunners are very good about every time that somebody uses a gun in a crime, about talking about how evil guns are and how we need to get them off the street, so to speak. But they never, ever, ever want to talk about it when somebody uses a gun to save lives.
That's true.
And to be honest about it, to get the right answer to a public policy question, you got to look at both sides of the equation. You can't get a right answer if you don't look at one side of the equation. And the other side totally refuses to acknowledge that over 800,000 times a year, somebody in America uses a firearm to protect themselves and their family and property from criminal attack. And in 99% of the cases, the gun's never even fired. The mere presence of the gun means the rapist flees as quickly as he attacked, or the, you know, the person broke into your home runs as quickly away as possible, and you're saved and your property is saved. They don't ever want to talk about that at all. Yeah. And that significantly lowers our crime rate when people have a way to deter crime. They never want to talk about that. We like to get these kind of messages out in answer to your question. We use direct mail very heavily. We use the internet very heavily, email, and Twitter and Facebook, social media, as well as appearing on shows and podcasts like yours.
Amen. As you were talking about that, I was thinking, I just seen this, I can't remember, 4 or 5 days ago. There was a person working at a convenience store. The guy walked in and put a hatchet down, was holding onto a hatchet, threatening, the guy, give me the money and stuff. Well, this guy just happened to have his concealed weapon on him, and he didn't point it at the guy, drop it and all that, like a cop would do anything. He just pulled out the gun and said, I don't think so, And the guy laid his hatchet down and walked out. Ran out. As you said, they flee. And the clerk got fired by his boss because the boss didn't like the gun in the store. He didn't threaten the guy with it. He didn't, chase him down the street carrying, brandishing a weapon. All he did was, in order to protect himself, he just unholstered it and brought it out in front of him and said, I don't think it's going to happen today. And the clerk ended up getting fired for that because... the society doesn't like guns. They'd rather have you wrestle a guy with a hatchet and then chase him away. Rush Limbaugh calls these people low information voters. And I agree with that statement. I believe it goes way back to the way they have basically cut the way history and government's taught in public schools today. If people do not go over the history of America, they don't go over our form of government, they don't go over the intent of the founding fathers of this nation, if they don't provide the information a person should possess in order to be a good, responsible, productive citizen anymore, then the low information voters will only vote the way they're told to vote, and that they're being told that by the politicians. Do you see this as the way the leftists are able to gain so much traction and trying to revoke the Second Amendment, because they're removing all of these things from school?
Well, there's no doubt they try to do that. Our academic institutions in our country try to ignore Second Amendment rights, either if it's law schools, at the high level, or down in the local school systems. We've even seen textbooks where the Second Amendment, talks about how it doesn't apply to individual rights, it only applies to the military. We've had to get textbooks removed from classes because they keep trying to put that kind of stuff, indoctrination, in on the kids. We see this all the time. They like to try and rewrite history. If they could, they'd rewrite the Second Amendment out of the Constitution.
I have no doubt on that. That's true. What are some of the other more recent newsworthy events going on right now that concern our Second Amendment rights that you've been dealing with, like either banning guns outright or restricting gun rights?
Well, one of the things that we're really involved in is legal cases. We do about 80% of the Second Amendment case law that's been won in the courts protecting, gun rights has been won by the Second Amendment Foundation and our attorneys. And we're currently working on three cases that are of significance. One in New York City, they have a law that if you have to have a permit to have a gun in your own home, which, by the way, costs a lot of money and takes like 9 months.
Wow.
But if you have a gun in your own home, you're not allowed to move the gun out of your home except, unloaded in a lockbox and only to 7 approved gun ranges in the city of New York.
Wow.
So if you want to move your gun, say, if you want to take your gun to shoot at a range out on Long Island, you can't do it. If you wanted to go upstate New York and participate in a shooting match, you can't do it. If you have a second home in Florida or another home in New York City, you can't move it from one home to the other home. That case right now is before the United States Supreme Court. We've got a very important amicus brief filed in that case, and we're hoping the court rules our way, and I believe they will, that law is unconstitutional. And your Second Amendment rights don't stop at your front door. We have 2 other cases for cert petitions that we're hoping the Supreme Court grants to hear that are before them right now. One is out of California. The case is known as Pena. In California, they have two things. They have a so-called handgun roster and a micro-stamping requirement that the gun has to have the micro-stamping capabilities so you know what that what a bullet was fired from what gun. That's unproven, unreliable, unworkable, and at this point, no manufacturer can meet the standards of California, which means no new handguns can be sold in the state of California. And on the handgun roster, if new guns, therefore, can't be put on the roster, and if a gun isn't on the roster, it can't be sold. But the big problem is that when manufacturers don't support older models, the older models now fall off the list. So every year in California, the number of handguns available for self-protection keeps decreasing. And that case is before the U.S. Supreme Court. And then there's another one out of Texas. The 1968 Gun Control Act says that you have to be a resident of the state you buy a handgun in. You can't buy a handgun out of state.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode with our interview with Alan Gottlieb, the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. Now, this is so important. The Second Amendment, you know, with the Bill of Rights, is one of the premier constitutional rights that this nation has instituted that has directly helped sustain this republic for all of these years. Without the Second Amendment, without the people being armed, and not everybody has to have weapons and all that, but if you want them, it is your right to have them. Now, you have to be responsible in how you conduct yourself, of course, but because so many people have exercise their constitutional right to keep and bear arms, that has basically kept the government in check. So many tyrants around the world over the centuries, once they have the people disarmed, they impose their own will upon the people. It is your constitutional right to have those weapons. Now come back tomorrow because we're only through part one. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.